Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 9th of March, recording at 10:31 p.m. British Standard Time. A bit late for me. Now, one of the reasons for that, aside from the normal meetings that one as a director of a company, or heavens, just anyone within a company has during the normal course of any operating procedure, as much as I'd like to be able to avoid them, some of them are absolutely necessary. Given my druthers, I'd be absolutely full-time in research, but life doesn't quite work that way, as you'll be well aware. Then additionally, I am involved in the testing and preparation of copy for a number of the features, designing some number of the features which the software writers are adding to this new website. I find that really quite exciting, and I look forward to making these available to you progressively, very, very shortly, but it does pull me away a little bit from the writing, and I have to keep a balance going here. Fortunately, I do know that with the daily writing, not to mention the audio, I am able to provide one heck of a lot more analytical coverage than was ever the case with the Fuller Money and 2 to 3 updates per month when I had the hard copy service only. Okay, enough of all that. Let's run on with the global review. As you know, I've been a bit concerned about most markets in here recently, and lots of changes in momentum and some choppy dynamics occurring. But starting with stock markets, a number of the markets that had been leading recently, they were led by Taiwan. That was one of the best performers. South Korea was doing extremely well. Indonesia was doing quite well. Malaysia, which had been one of the late runners, certainly doing well. They all ran ahead of themselves in the short term, got overextended, and are in consolidations. Now, there's nothing sinister about that, provided we don't get the rest of stock markets, especially Wall Street, breaking down significantly, and that is a risk, but I'll get on to that in a moment. But at this stage, I'm not all that troubled by the Asian markets. As a matter of fact, I actually increased a position in the Asian markets here today. You remember back in January, or some of you will remember, that I'd sold a very big slug of my Aberdeen New Thai Investment Trust, and reasonably well on that sale. Fortunately, perversely, I was thinking about Lightning at the time, and I thought, because both India and Thailand had run so far so fast, and they'd accelerated a bit, and I wasn't sure which one of the positions to lighten or whether to lighten both, but then India started to soften, Thailand hadn't, and I thought, well, maybe I missed the opportune moment on India. So I took out most of my Thai position, or about, I think it's probably at least 80% of it. And that fell back quite sharply, whereas India had a much shallower correction and is right back up near the highs. But I've been talking for the last couple of weeks about moving back in and picking up a little bit more of the new Thai, and I'd switch that position out of Croda, fortunately selling into strength, which continued after I lightened my position, and I'd been bidding for the Aberdeen New Thai, but holding out for a little bit too much. And I did raise the bid today. I actually paid 111 and actually closed at 110.25 in here today. I won't worry about this position despite the overall earlier loss of momentum, unless I see this moving back beneath the 105 level, and then I'll have to reconsider how I actually play it. Moving on to that's the main thing I'm doing in here. I've done in here recently. Now, Hong Kong, which is not liking the dollar rally, had pulled back a bit further in here today, down 176 points, or 1.3%, whereas Japan, which has certainly liked the dollar's rally against the Japanese yen, has continued to gain. That's up at 11,532. That's only a small gain today, only a quarter of a point, some 29 points, but that has been very, very steady. Now, a lot of people have been talking about Japan, and it is a breakout on the various different indices, as you know, but it is vulnerable to a consolidation. And I have said that before in the last few days. But the key to the consolidation, I feel, is really dollar-yen. And as long as the dollar is appreciating or holding those gains against Japanese yen, then probably Japan will outperform most other markets, as we've seen over the last fortnight or more. Conversely, when we do get a spillover in that relationship and the yen starts to strengthen, once we start to see upward dynamics on the yen, then I think Japan will be quite vulnerable in the short term, at any rate, in terms of a pullback and testing of the underlying support from that quite large trading range. Now, the European markets are all on the minus side in here today, and a number of the gains are over up in the 1%, 1.5%. I think OMX was the biggest. That's got a number of technology companies. It's a Swedish market. In it, the UK had one of the better performances. It was only down just under 12 points, or just over a quarter of a percent at 4.542 on the FTSE 100 index. So that's not too bad, but these have lost momentum up here, but they still have the progressions of higher lows for the most part. So nothing too serious there, but the Wall Street action is raising more questions. And you know, I've been a bit apprehensive about these stock markets here recently, is why I've placed the emphasis on taking money off the table more often than not. And for instance, I have no speculative futures positions now, whereas I had quite a few of those really from May onwards last year. And I had right up well into last month, I'd rotated some of them or moved some out of some indices and into others, but I was still playing the futures reasonably aggressively right on well into February. But I have none of those at present. And you know my overall strategy, I keep a lot of money just in cash, and if I like an asset class such as stock markets, I'll put my little self-administered pension funds into equities or into funds. That's all unleveraged, and I'll have some ISA positions, family ISA positions. Those are those tax advantageous saving plans in the UK. But I'll really leverage up if I like the environment on a money controlled basis. In other words, building small and adding when I can raise stops, and if the position is moving in my favor, I'll build those positions up in futures. I like to play the stock market futures. I'll do a bit with individual shares and spread betting, but I'm never as happy with that, because the stops don't work very well, or they don't let you put in stops, and I do prefer the highly liquid futures markets if I want to make that kind of leveraged play. And while one would readily say that if you pick the right shares that they will way outperform the futures contracts, that's certainly true. The futures contracts are like a tracker fund, but what I will do with those positions, that again, trying to use disciplined money control tactics, if I'm on a trend and the trend is continuing and I'm able to raise stops and add positions, I will leverage that up quite a bit, as those of you who've been subscribers over the last year will certainly know. Well, I'm not doing any of that in here today, and that position in Aberdeen, and which I now have, and I've still only got perhaps 30% of the position that I'd had back in January, just before I sold. I'm only doing that by switching out of one UK share into this fund. Okay. Now, Wall Street today, It's the NASDAQ that concerns me the most. Now, you remember the NASDAQ Composite Index, and I'll put up a chart of this in the next couple of days, but you've seen a number of those charts on the site for the NASDAQ recently. And I was talking about that 2000 level. Everybody will be looking at that 2000 level on the NASDAQ. And I'm just going to bring it up while I talk to you. Sorry about this delay, which drives some people nuts, not to mention your commentator here. Okay, on the NASDAQ, I'm talking about this level, this lateral trading at 2000, which round number, psychological support level, and on the way up it was a psychological resistance level. We had 4 months of trading effectively beneath that 2000 level, during which the NASDAQ, this is back in the October, well, it got not all that far away from it in September, but it was mostly in the October, November, and December period. But as I said, the lows were always rising and the highs were higher as well, but they were really flattening out, in particularly in December. But as you know, then we got into late December and January, and the market took off on another run on the upside before it then encountered the next downward dynamics in January, where we saw the peak to date on that NASDAQ composite up at 2153. Now, subsequently, we've had three little lower highs, and we've had two lower lows. And actually, you could add a third lower low here today, but it wasn't decisive. It just edged a little bit below the February reaction low, and we're back at, as I said, at 1995, so just a little bit below that psychological 2000 level. Now, it's not enough to be conclusive, but the problem is that on Monday we had a downward dynamic. On the NASDAQ, it retraced most of the little rally that we had seen when we got that first bounce off the 2000 level. Well, it retraced the whole thing in a couple of days, so that is just not good. And I think people will be apprehensive about that. And as I've emphasized so many times, the NASDAQ led on the way up, and what leads so often leads in both directions. So we've still got a correction underway here. And the NASDAQ, bottom line, needs an upward dynamic to take the selling, to alleviate the selling pressure. And well, when we see it, we'll know how to respond. But in the meantime, these markets are on the defensive. Okay, what else can I talk to you about? Let's have a look at the bond markets are all pretty steady in here with those soft stock markets. So modest gains there across the boards. I think these long-term bonds, government bonds I'm talking about, are dangerous at these levels. I've been saying that there for weeks, and we have had this gradual rise in here, but I think it's the right-hand extension topping phase. As you know, I'm talking about the bond futures now, which had peaked last June. So I think we're, as I say, we're in this lengthy top extension phase. But again, the bond bulls who disagree with me on this are talking all the time about growth petering out, and indeed growth isn't all that robust, say in Europe, and there's some question marks certainly over the US growth. But bottom line here, governments are borrowing too much, interest rates aren't all that low real terms, and I just think this is a very risky market. I think we face a secular bear market in bonds, as you know. Now, but in terms of taking strategic positions, although I've got a couple of small short positions in there in JGBs in the U.S. 30 years, I'm losing money on those. Those are just initial toes in the water, and I wouldn't be suggesting that anyone go into these markets at this time. Currencies. Now, euro-dollar. This is interesting because the dollar was reasonably steady here earlier today, and then it pulled back. It's currently in after-hours trading. It's at 123.22. Now, the moment That's the euro sagging back, in other words, in here today. And it has backed away from this, I'm just going to put this chart up, has backed away from a little bit of chart resistance. And I think we really would need to see the euro back above 125 for more than a moment or two to get people thinking, well, this is really strengthening once again, and the dollar's rally is probably over. Right now, it's sort of hesitating near the euro's reaction lows, a little bit of psychological resistance that we had seen back in January, and that's really right around the sort of 120, 124 region. I think these corrections tend to last a long time. It was easy to see this one coming when I was talking about the key day reversals that we had last February. Fortunately, there were two of them mentioned on the audio as tradable signals, although I don't play the contra trend reactions in this. But I'm far more interested in the spin-offs from this. In other words, weak dollar. Every time we see the dollar beginning to weaken, as we saw today when the euro got close to its high and it had pushed up to 124.59, and then the precious metals were quite steady and some of the industrial metals were picking up, then when the euro fell back, dollar strengthened, in other words, we immediately saw a little bit more profit taking in that sector. Now I'll come back to that in a moment, but I think it's going to be one of the key driving factors here, what happens with the US dollar in terms of sentiment in a lot of markets over the short term. And then eventually people will get tired of that relationship and they'll revert to looking at other fundamental economic factors or other psychological factors. But right now, the dollar is a very big influence on what's happening elsewhere, and not just in the commodity markets. We had that earlier example of rallying dollar. Hong Kong doesn't like it, but Japan does, and so forth. Okay, other currency relationships. Sterling still catching a little bit of profit taking. People were, it's back at 182.60 against the U.S. dollar, and the euro has rallied against the pound a bit. People were concerned, and rightly so, about the effects on UK exports and operating earnings for some of the UK manufacturers. Now, again, I'm not doing anything in currencies. This is unusual for me. I've got far fewer positions than I have had in, well, I've got fewer positions than I've had at any time since last March, actually, and maybe earlier. I'm just not wanting, I just don't like the risk-reward ratio. I mean, there's one could argue, and people do, that there's plenty of reward out there, but the other side of the equation, the risk side, I think the risk has gone way up, so that's my more conservative stance. I'm not going to push my hand here, try my luck in something that I don't really feel all that comfortable with. Now, of the areas that interest me a great deal, well, you know, metals are very, very important, and I've talked a lot about playing this credit creation environment, all this paper money that we have floating around, and you really can summarize by saying that in no time in financial history has Japan produced, in modern financial history at any rate, has Japan produced so many yen, nor the U.S. produced so many dollars. And the China's won or renminbi being pegged to the U.S. dollar means that you have this incredibly easy monetary policy stance in China as well. And all this stuff sloshing around has caused so many of these assets to move up simultaneously. Now, that's something that is covered in that terrific Barron's interview that I posted today with Paul McRae Montgomery. If you haven't read that, I really do commend the whole article to you, and I've commented on it extensively. myself, but as I said, he understands its history and he understands its charts, and there's a lot that one can learn from that, and he puts a lot of issues in perspective. But the point that I've been emphasizing here, if one's playing the asset reflation story, and again we're getting a bit of a consolidation in that asset reflation story, which is related of course to the dollar's firmer tone, but that I like to play most in terms of the liquid markets that have supply inelasticity. By that I mean it's very difficult to increase the supply quickly, and metals really do qualify in a very big way. Now, I've also said recently that the metal that impressed me the most, the one that I'm itching to get back into, but I'm resisting that, and it was up a little bit in here today, one of the few that was, is the tin market that closed at 3 months tin position. LME closed at 6,970. That was up 45, so that's about 130 pounds up. Dollars rather above where I got stopped out of my long position. I don't feel the need to go racing in, as I've said before, because we don't have commonality. The others are still consolidating. Copper looks more like a short than a buy, but I'm not tempted to short it because it's a contra trend or counter trend move. I like to run with the primary trends myself, so I view it. This move is a consolidation. Nickel, which I've emphasized before, was one of the early leaders. That was down. I mean, zinc is down again in here today, as was lead. So I don't want to go into the tin again, because while the others are on the defensive, I certainly don't have the commonality factor. It's working in tin's favor at this stage. So again, I'm sitting on the sidelines. Now, we had some profit-taking in the palladium, which had done so very well yesterday. Palladium ran up to a high of 268, I think we saw that earlier, or we saw that yesterday as well. It had a $10 range, a $9.50 range, down to a low of 258.50, and closed near the lower side. It's currently in after-hours trading. It's at 260, and $260.50 in here, but that's a very, very steady performance relative to the others. But just as good or even better is this silver position, and I've been apprehensive about going back into the silver as well, but that has been very steady here, still 7.713, that was up 14 today. I'm not wanting to chase this at this stage, but obviously there is a fair amount of aggressive buying taking place in the silver market. So those are the steadiest of the two. What else to mention? Oil prices, 36.28 in here today. Just a generally firm tone, but we've got a bit of resistance, $2 to $4 over current levels, that oil has backed away from on a number of occasions over the last year or more. But I can't, I've got to say, I think this pattern overall is building up into like it will get an eventual upward break. Okay, I've probably gone on enough, except I'll say I'll try to do two audios tomorrow. I'm going to tackle a number of recent subscribers' queries, as I haven't done those for a while, and they have been building up. I may not get through them all in one email. I'll try to limit it to 20 minutes, but I will do that in addition to a second one in terms of global review. All the best.